Appreciate it. Let's go to Ryan. Simon's okay if I go to Ryan because he's always short on time.
Yeah, go for it. Come on,
Awesome.
Ryan.
Ryan, thanks for joining us. What's your thoughts? Donald Trump, is he going to go to war with Iran? Let us know what you think.
I think so. I didn't think it would be in his first year back, though. I think he'd do a lot of pompous hot air first. You can see them kicking off. HTS is slaughtering Alawites in Syria right now, and they're very anti-Iran as well. And Israel's annexed a good chunk of Syria, too. It's disgusting, but you notice something. Whenever and whatever Hamas did, all Palestinians did it and are collectively punished. But whatever Israel does, in the name of being a Jewish state and based on religious rhetoric and all that, killing Amalek and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's just a few bad apples. You're not allowed to criticize the state, or you're criticizing all Jews in general. And you're not allowed to protect Palestinians, or then you're only promoting Hamas and acts of terrorism. It's all about the media. It's arguments of bad faith. It's not like Hamas attacked out of the blue for no reason either. They are also blowing up houses in the West Bank where there is no Hamas. They have decimated Jenin. They're bombing refugee camps that they created and slowly encroaching there. And now they're saying they're not going to leave and the people can't return. So this is an annexation plan. And over in Iran, on Iranian TV all week, generals have been coming on television talking about how the war would go down, how they're expecting airstrikes, how they can absorb them. A lot of their things are underground. The oddest thing is almost everything in Israel is above ground and very reachable with ballistic missiles. It doesn't need to come to this, but this is a script, and people are blaming Trump. Sure. But I promise you, it's both parties. With Obama and Biden, they went into Syria, which was part of the script. If you that famous Wesley Clark video where he's talking about, here's the plan. They want to hit Iraq, then Syria, Libya, and Obama did Libya too. And now it's Iran's turn. They couldn't do it without handcuffing Russia to Ukraine first. They couldn't get Syria without getting Russia out. Russia's out, Syria's fallen. Iran's in the crosshairs, but I firmly think that the Israelis and Americans will try to pick things off one at a time. So Israel will restart the war with Hezbollah. America and Britain will continue to bomb Yemen and soften it up, and they'll be at war with Iran sometime next year.
So Ryan, you think it's going to be that soon? Because my initial prediction I thought was that Trump would kind of blow a lot of hot air and kind of indicate towards it, but then in the end not go into direct conflict with Iran, and then when JD Vance is put in power, that would be his kind of objective or thought. I mean, process. What so you don't
Oh,
think so? You
well,
think?
Iran's not stupid. They're not going to let them pick them off one at a time. When they restart the war with Lebanon, you could see Iran hit Israel first.
Interesting, interesting. Khaleesi, jump in with your thoughts, and then we'll go to Simon.
Yeah, thanks, Suleiman. I just had a question for Ryan really quickly. Ryan, if what you're saying is true, that you think it's going to happen sometime next year and not sooner, let's just say it is sometime next year, how do you think his MAGA base are going to react to it? Given everything that Suleiman said at the beginning of this space, and if anybody hasn't heard it, do go back and listen to it. It's a really good summary of the kind of pledges that Donald Trump made that, people believe his MAGA kind of movement, the foundation it stands on. And just in the matter of weeks since he's come into office, you're seeing all those pledges kind of be just completely swimming away and something really different's happening in reality. So he still has a massive cult following. And there are some people who can see the wood from the trees in his base. Not all of them are cult, but it, massively, I'd say there's a lot of them that are blinded. They don't question the money going to Israel. They're quite Islamophobic. They just idolize him, and anything he says and does is perfect. How do you think they'll react if he takes America to war? Or do you think they'll have kind of built a case for it by then, where what's it called? You know the term I'm looking for, when they manufacture consent by then.
Yeah, I mean, you know the answer to that. It's the same way the cult supported Obama, who they thought was a, hey, he didn't vote for the Iraq war. he did go into war with Iraq and Libya and Syria, and they were cheerleaders the whole time because it's ride or die with their team. And most of the Trump faction will be the same way. They didn't really care that he's anti-war or not. That was just something to say to anti-war people, like, oh, look, Trump will get us out of the wars. They didn't care about that. They care about the border, and they care about, like, the culture war against wokeism and stuff. And then it doesn't matter how many brown people they kill or whatever. They'll just say something like, well, Iran was about to get a nuclear bomb, so we had to hit them first. It doesn't, like... I love this quote from Mike Rivera, but you know, propaganda isn't designed to fool thinking people. It's to give people who it's to give fools an excuse not to think at all. It doesn't matter how bad the rhetoric is. They could even say WMDs again, and they would accept it because they want the, you know, American, we're so mighty and shocking, all goddamn it, you know. And they don't like Iran. They think, well, they're a threat to Israel. And, you know, Israel is God's chosen people. It's in the Bible. And so that's that. I mean, there's no reasoning with these people.
Brilliant response. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, Salama.
All right, I'll speak if it's quiet.
Yeah.
yeah, personally... I can't imagine. I can't imagine a set of circumstances. I know Israel wants it. I know Israel's doing everything they can right now. So they're burning down mosques. The 12th century mosque was set on fire today. Another five mosques. 40,000 Palestinians in the West Bank displaced. I think there's a hot mic from someone. I think it's Ryan. Then, you know, Israel is doing everything they possibly can within their power to try and just create an uprising in the West Bank right now. And then Trump is pushing all the Hezbollah and just lying about everything to do with it when it comes to Iran and Hamas. And they're pushing the whole... You know, look what's happening to the hostages. They're starving. Basically saying everything that's happening to the Palestinian hostages is happening to the Israeli hostages. So they're pushing all of that. But I just think the world order has changed. Like, America is not a hegemonic power anymore. It lost the war to Russia. And, you know, it needs to win the economic and AI race with China. And that is the economic reality of today. And so going to war with Iran, given what everybody knows about Afghanistan and Iraq and the entire history, I just, you know, okay, you might get the old Gitz, Zayos that are kind of like these leftover relics. But the vast majority of Americans, like the youth, like they're switched on to Israel. Like, you know, they're watching Joe Rogan and they're hearing about 9/11 and they're hearing about Zio conspiracies. And like, I just think the vast majority of American, now maybe I'm wrong. Maybe like Zionism within America, I think it's made to look like it's bigger than it actually is. I think they've always fooled for the psyops of obviously all the false flags and anti-Muslim rhetoric and all that stuff. But I think you'd end up with a similar, if not much greater, pushback from the people as you would have in the Iraqi war. And then so many people are onto Israel in a way that no one ever understood before. Now, so that would be the people, but does it matter? Well, they voted for Trump on peace. He'd firstly have to really betray that to go to direct war with Iran. And I think everybody in the American intelligence and the Pentagon knows they would absolutely risk World War III. And there is very little guarantee they could win this one. Like, they saw what happened with Russia. Russia signed a 20-year, a 20-year economic and some security pact with Iran. So they've tied themselves together. China needs both Iran and Russia for oil. Israel economically is a really pitsy, like their economy right now at this stage relative to the GCC countries is like absolutely nothing. They're just dependent upon American funding. I mean, the Trump administration has sent $12 billion. At some point, like, you know, the economic realities of not being able to send money because they're in America's in austerity right now. America's dismantling the euro dollar. America's coming to, you know, question with all of their trading partners. They've exposed elements of the deep state, but they haven't done anything to do with Mossad. And so they're declassifying everything to do with Mossad. But the majority of people, maybe, well, I don't know if majority, but maybe in my bubble, like, people know what that is. Like, when Joe Rogan is like covering this stuff, people are kind of switched on. So even though Israel would like to do everything they can, and they have a lot of tools, they have a lot of power, I find it really hard to believe and imagine that there is a set of circumstances by which America goes into a suicide mission of going for a much, much military stronger power than Iraq with all the technology that exists today, given that they just lost a proxy war to Russia and that Russia is producing 20 weapons for every weapon that America can produce. And it's sending all of this military aid over to, originally Ukraine and now obviously going across to Israel. I just think at some point reality kicks in, and I don't think they could win a war with Iran given the economic circumstances of the reality today. And I think cool heads would know that, and they could destroy America. Now, maybe that is Israel's plan. I'm sure they'd love to achieve that, but I'm not sure if they're going to go in for a suicide. I think Biden would have gone in for a suicide mission. But I just don't think Trump would go in for a suicide mission with all of the, obviously all the Zios, everything that's happening. But the consequences of going to war with Iran in the current set of circumstances, I think it's all posturing. I think it's impossible. And I think it could be the downfall of America. And I think a lot of people would have done the calculations. So I personally don't see it happening, despite the immense amount of tools, let's say, that Israel will do to try and make it happen. I think it's game over for Israel, and I think America's just going to focus on regional, and it's going to send shitloads of weapons, and Israel's going to try and do everything that it does. But, like, yeah. There's no economic value in destabilizing the Middle East anymore. That business model is over. It no longer exists. Like, it's about, you don't need to destabilize. And so Israel's no longer useful to America and American foreign policy. So at some point, that reality kicks in, I think, anyway.
With respect to the hands, I'll make this quick.
Nah.
Simon. So, and I'll make it really quick. It's not always about the economic whatever. The obsession. Come on, Simon. I've actually never seen it like this. Everything is about Israel. Nancy Mace is saying in Israel they have bathrooms for women or something. Some crap she said the other day. There's something else to it, Simon. And it's not just about the money. There's no reverse gear for these people. It didn't make sense for us to proxy a war in Ukraine. There's no reverse gear.
Well, it kind of did. A proxy war in Ukraine did make sense, but they lost it. And so America's adjusting to that new reality.
No, they didn't lose it. You don't get it. The point of the war in Ukraine was to sever Russia and Europe, which they did. They blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. Europe is sanctioning Russia and going to war with them. And so they took their largest economic rival and stuck them in a war they cannot win.
Yeah, so Europe is weak right now. And they economically destroyed Europe and created a dependency upon American gas. And they're falling for it and not normalizing with Russia. But they did lose to Russia. Win. They definitely lost to Russia.
What did they lose?
What did they lose? Well, they wanted to weaken Russia, and they wanted to export all of their gas to Europe, which I'm not sure what the next. But Russia's got all the cards now.
They did weaken Russia and Europe and made money off the whole thing.
Russia's not weak, though. It's got a stronger economy than it did before. It went down from a 25% debt to GDP to a 14% debt to GDP. It's now got a really strong alliance with BRICS and a dependency where China needs it, and it's producing 20 weapons for every weapon at America, and so it's more profitable, and it can sustain this type of environment for way, way longer than anyone else can.
It's just including its military spending into its GDP, so that doesn't matter. They're struggling over four oblasts. They're not going to invade Europe, much less America. How many missiles? Of course, they're producing more weapons. They're in the middle of a hot war, and America isn't. And America already has stockpiles of weapons. They flooded Europe with refugees, severed them economically, made them dependent on U.S. gas and oil, sanctioned Russia, kicked them off SWIFT. They are winning this. And because they were handcuffed to Ukraine is why Turkey could invade Syria and Russia couldn't go down and support them. Like, these are all W's for the U.S. And by the way, Americans did support the Iraq war. They didn't turn on Bush until after he had the settlements in Gaza relocated to the West Bank on his roadmap to peace. Then all the late night comedians and newscasters and stuff started making fun of Bush and Cheney, but they didn't when he was building up to the war. It was like astronomical support for him after 9/11, standing out there with the firemen going, "They'll hear all of us now," and everyone's yeah, and had the stupid yellow magnets on the back of their car, and if you said anything against it, you were un-American and didn't support the troops. Like, they totally can do that again with Iran, because the plebs are one Mark Anthony speech away from doing whatever they're told to do.
Simon?
Yeah, see, do you think American troops are going to be motivated to go to war with Iran, given what they already know about Iraq? Because they were fooled into Iraq.
No, they're going to use Azeri mercenaries and do a color revolution, and it'll probably fail, but they'll just keep doing them until it works, because they don't lose a single soldier.
Okay, so you think it's just going to be the old covert tactic, and even though US aid has kind of been revealed and the whole playbook has been revealed?
Well, only temporarily, because the Supreme Court just ruled that Trump can't cut off USAID and another 200 million is coming. So all the little propagandists will get their paycheck again, and they'll yip, yip, yip about Iran and say, "Oh, Iran's building a nuclear bomb. They're 6 months away," whatever. Israel do strikes. Now, I don't think, I think this is the one point you said that I agree with, is like Iran is a different beast than Iraq. They have different geography. You're looking at close to 90 million people. They have good air defense. They have alliances. So Israel could be committing suicide on this. They're still going to do it, because U.S. doesn't act in American interests. They act for their own personal commercial interests, and they're blackmailed and bribed by the Israeli lobby. The Iraq war, the Libyan war, the Syrian war, none of that stuff was good for the United States' national interest. But it was good for the neocons that wrote the policies.
Okay, well, if this happens, get ready. China's the new superpower of the world. It will sit back and watch the whole world blow each other up. And this is the new world order. China's the hegemon.
Hey, I moved to East Asia in 2005. I saw this coming.
I moved in 2015.
So, Simon, you don't Do you agree with Ryan's assessment that Russia's weaker?
No, I don't. I think Russia's, I mean, look, you can't carry on like this forever. And yeah, the economy is a war economy, but it is set up as a war economy. I think it can just keep selling oil to China. And I think it's got a really, really strong in the current set of circumstances, unbreakable relationship with China, Russia, and Iran, where they're all in the same boat. Now, I can't imagine a maybe Trump finds some way to get Russia over to the American side, but I doubt it. They're always going to focus on their neighbors. Like, they're always going to focus on the global south, the BRIC side. I think Russia could just carry on like this in Ukraine, and I think it's got all the cards. And I think yeah, I think it's in a strong position right now, and that's what's going to keep everything together, I'm hoping.
But see, the main goal wasn't about Russia. That's the rhetoric. The main goal was to cripple Europe.
Yeah, agreed on
Europe
that.
collectively, you're talking 400 million people. If you add them all together, is a potential economic rival to US hegemony, whereas Russia is not. Russia is still on the raw resource thing. They're not making chip processors and stuff and AI and all. They're not a competition with the United States. Europe is. Europe was a convenient ally after World War II because they were too weak to do anything. So they allied with them against the Soviet Union, which is a power rival to the US. But now Europe is the power rival to the US. So they're like, all right, cut them off from cheap Russian gas and oil, flood them with immigrants, keep the borders open. They're all on paths of self-destruction. And you're watching them do it. Germany, France, Britain, like the old colonial powers of Europe, are committing cultural suicide. And America's just laughing, like, look at these morons. Like, they're engaged in war with Russia. They just saw the branch they're sitting on. But Europeans are so arrogant, like, we are smart, Americans are dumb, blah, blah. Like, every move you made was a fail.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That this was about making Europe 100% dependent, getting Ukrainian rare earth minerals, then normalizing with Russia. Well, I don't think that would have been the plan under Biden, but
Well, they win either way because
yeah.
they'll either get the rare earth from Ukraine or they'll get it from Russia.
Yeah.
One of them's going to do the deal and they end up with it.
And I do think if the European leaders weren't under the Israeli lobby or under the Epstein list or whatever they are at the moment, then they would be figuring out, okay, all we need to do is get the cheap gas back on, normalize with Russia, become an exporter of rare earth minerals between BRICS and America. And so that's clearly the strategy, but instead they're doing the USAID funded media of Putin is Hitler still. But I do
That's
think they
right.
want to stimulate by stealing the 350 mil and spending it and
Yeah.
do an economic
But it's
stimulus through
almost
war.
irreversible, the anti-Russia hate and all that, like all the Europeans with the stupid Ukrainian flag, and they don't have free speech, so they can't organize. That's the worst thing. They can't organize against it to do anything in their own interests because they don't have free speech. It's just like, oh, wrong Facebook post, go to jail. If Europe were to normalize relations with Russia and get the cheap oil and gas and just do what they were doing, they were going to surpass the US. But nah, they fell for it. It's because they don't run their own media. America does. You saw that with the COVID hysteria stuff. They do whatever they're told. And that's why they're just going to walk off a cliff again.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So the euro dollar has been dismantled. That will economically, like, they still need to try and keep Europe slightly alive. But if they lose all that trade, then the euro dollar is dismantled. That's a big chunk of inward capital. And then you've got the petrodollar, which you can either keep alive by going to war with Iran and building that wartime model, which I don't think they want to do anymore. Because if America is trying to rebuild its manufacturing base, it needs to weaken the dollar. And if you go to war with Iran, you're going to be strengthening the dollar and doing the old model. And so to me, like everything's around. They've got to weaken the dollar to rebuild the manufacturing base to win the AI race. And so if America acts in its own interest, which we know it's not, then it won't go to war with Iran. Israel has the opportunity to say, screw the GCC, let's get America to fight. And then Israel has a chance at taking over the GCC as a power. And Europe won't normalize with Russia. So I think Europe's going to do a short-term stimulus through war, steal Russia's money, and then they'll end up in the same place that America is right now, where they have to do a strategic retreat, change leadership, and change the narrative. But again, it still comes down to, does Israel, and I guess this is where Casey's point is, and your point probably, Ryan, does Israel, in this set of circumstance, have enough blackmail, enough power, enough control to send America to its own suicide by going, or you don't think it would be direct, you just think it would be colored revolutions and proxies and trying to overthrow it somehow, some covert way?
They'll waste an enormous amount of money and they'll kill a lot of people, but they don't have the public will to do a hot war, because I mean, they can barely recruit kids today that can do 10 push-ups. They're so flabby and addicted to video games, whatever, but they've got enough mercenaries and they can do upstarts within Iran. I mean, it's questionable whether or not their president was assassinated on that helicopter. There are a lot of people from Azerbaijan, minority groups that they could splinter off. They have MEK, they have Baluchistani terrorists. And so they could wear them down like that. But, you know, does Israel have enough blackmail? Yeah, they do. Like, can they get America to do things against its own interests? That's all they've ever done. If America would just tell Israel to go F itself and trade and get all that cheap oil and gas from Iran, Iraq, Saudi, whoever, I mean, they would be untouchable. We would colonize Mars. But instead, they're wasting all this money picking fights with almost all of Islam while they're supporting a state that has no oil, no gas, and that gives you nothing other than demands.
Yeah, same with Europe. So Israel, because both Europe and American leadership, it really could be a complete suicide mission, which then makes sense while Trump is here asset stripping, essentially handing over the assets to the people that are rich enough to just leave America and go over to Singapore as soon as shit hits the fan.
The key thing is, like, real politic is dead. Nations do not act in their national interest. Most of the time, they're acting in the interest of the hedgies. And that doesn't always overlap. Sometimes it might happen to, but that does not always overlap with the national interest. It's a corporatocracy, and it's not just Israel. But when you're coming to, you know, American foreign policy and war, the top dog is UDP and AIPAC. And that's just how it is. That's only on the bribery side. And then you have the blackmail. I promise you this. I'll say this again. I said this, you know, before they even started talking about it. Those files are not coming out. All they're going to release is the crap that's already been released, and they're going to prance around like this is some new thing when it isn't. There is no freaking way that they're going to give you the Epstein client list, because it's the entire billionaire backbone donor class that runs the country. That's just not happening.
And do you reckon, a pretty ignorant comment, but I'd like to get your opinion anyway, Ryan. Is there any way that they're holding on to they're holding on to it to have some kind of leverage to avoid having to go to war with Iran?
Who is they?
Exactly.
They're having that leverage so you do go to war with Iran. Those files are in Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
Wow.
I hate to black pill everybody, but it's like, look, America wins. You're screwed again. Sorry. The only way to take it down the only people that can take down America are Americans. And unfortunately, we're dumber than a box of AIDS. It's just, if we don't get hold of our media and wake these people up. And that was the saddest thing to me. I, for 25 years, been fighting for Palestine. And I always thought, well, they're just ignorant. They don't know what's going on. If they saw the kids getting blown up, if they saw the bulldozers, they wouldn't put up with it. Boy, was I wrong. Because there's no way you could not know about it now. And they just don't care. They're like, whatever, terrorists, Haji, you know, they call them sand niggers and stuff. Like, wow, that's where we're at. Manifest Destiny 2.0, another trail of tears. Another Indian reservation for the people of Gaza. I mean, that the president of the United States got up and like, we'll just put them somewhere else, Egypt or Jordan. And there was zero pushback from Zionist media. No one said, that's insane. You can't just take 2 million people and put them somewhere else. So, and then what? Give the land away after you redevelop it to the people who bombed it and stole it? Just, it's insane. And I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, we're evil. Like, our culture is evil. We've been prepped in, you know, and even the university students that wanted to challenge it, they're going to arrest you for hate speech. If you're a foreign student, they're going to deport you. Like, if you don't kiss Israel's ass, you'll be thrown out of school. That's where we're at.
Well, I have to say, like, slight different subject, but then get some more opinions in maybe, Sadie. But if America ends up going to war with Iran, and Europe ends up continuing down its path, everyone needs to protect themselves, because the middle, you think the middle class is bad right now? Wealth inequality is bad right now? Like, this shit is about to get really bad if those missions are achieved.
Oh, if they try to invade Iran like they invaded Iraq, like going in with the Air Force and ground, if they don't do what I'm saying with the proxies and financing upstarts from within, if they try that, it will not work. Like, Iran can close the Strait of Hormuz. They could blow up the oil fields in Saudi Arabia just like that. They can tag Israel. They can do great damage. They have ballistic missiles that'll go right through their defense systems. If they try to hot war, they'll lose. But I don't think that's the plan. I think they're going to do it the gay way, the same way they did in Syria.
ISIS, then.
I'm sorry, but just real quick, the files are in Tel Aviv. I didn't think that I could hear anything else about these files that would shock me. But yeah, I guess they would be in Tel Aviv. I was just really shocked about that.
Of course, the whole thing was an Israeli operation.
Yeah, I know.
The Maxwell, like, Epstein didn't create that pedophile ring. He entered a pre-existing ring. That was already there. Wexner had been finding. Wexner did the Mike Jeffries ring too. The Bromfins have been financing pedophile rings in Canada and the United States. Like, Epstein's just the one you guys know about. I've been deep into this for decades. It's just, I don't know what to do. Like, I need to just be cranking out films, but I don't have the money to do that because I'm canceled on everything. But that I can't think of what else to do other than like reach enormous amounts of people so they can see it. So when they try to do it, like, this is, someone said you're about to do this. And why? They're a bunch of child rapists. We were governed by sadistic, incredibly evil people.
For reals.
Do you know they had forced enemas? Did you remember that? That news story was out for all of what, a day? Maybe.
What was that story, Ryan?
Do you remember the scandal with Abercrombie and Finch and the homosexual ring set up by Les Wexner and Mike Jeffries, where they were not only raping young boys, but forcing them to get enemas, like tubes in the butt with hot water, and shaving their whole bodies and stuff because he wanted them slick. If we had a functional media, which we don't, you know, that story would be bigger than P. Diddy. That story would be bigger than OJ. But it's no, because of who it goes back to. It's like, wow, Wexner again, the financier Epstein, the same cabal. God damn, is he a conduit for a state, perhaps? Gee. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, that's wild. Did anyone actually see that story make any mainstream media. Like, I literally only heard about it like through X and alternatives. But I mean, that is a
probably
major
for me
scandal.
Yeah, I went on Sean Atwood's show. Like, I don't go on Candace Owens or any of these bigger shows. I'm not allowed for some reason. But I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I have the stories and these are interesting, but I don't know. They'll pick someone that learned from someone who learned from someone who learned it from me. They'll go on the show, but not me.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a direct, I think they know the type of people they allow on these shows and who they don't, because the ones who are going to cause problems, they won't allow them on the shows. We know that for a fact.
Oh, yeah. They want to talk about the Anunnaki and the pyramids built by aliens and stuff. But I'm like, please, like, if that interests you, go ahead. But don't mix that with 9/11 and Epstein. Don't mix it with that stupid shit. It's so discrediting.
But Ryan, you got properly targeted by ADL, right? They put all the whole white supremacist, anti-Semite, all that shit, right?
They said I blame 9/11 on the Jews. My 9/11 film doesn't even mention the word Jew even one time. It's disingenuous crap. I got smeared by the SPLC as well, and Canary Mission thinks I'm like a Nazi, which is funny because all the actual Nazis hate my guts. Like, it works. Like, if you yell anti-Semite, people's brains shut off. Like, fuck Hitler, fuck the Nazis, and fuck the Zionists. Like, I don't see how their ideologies are any different other than which race they chose. Like, racial supremacy is retarded. That's that. It doesn't matter how many times I say that. It doesn't matter what I've said. I've never been racist. I've never been anti-Semitic. Like, I don't collectively condemn. I don't blame what Israel does on their genetics, okay? It's a state, just like North Korea is a state. Some states suck, you know, and it's not because, you know, of their Jewishness or their Koreanness. Like, I live in South Korea. They're just as Korean as North Korea. It's not a product of biology. But that's this kind of disingenuous rhetoric they're going to say. We're like, oh, yeah, you think it's because of the Jews? And we're like, no, it's not because of the Jews. If you have ethnic nepotism, that is blamed on racism, not race. The problem's ideology, not biology. You say it a million times, it doesn't matter, because they're just going to call you a racist because it works. And it shuts the conversation down. But I don't understand with, like, people like Candace or, oh, I'm not to pick on her, but just for an example, like, they're already going to call you an anti-Semite for standing up for Palestine too. So I'm safe. Like, you can have me on, I can articulate these issues, but I don't think, for whatever reason, I won't be on any of these big shows, even though I don't know anyone that has more information on Jeff Epstein or September 11th than myself. And that is not to brag, but that is just a fact.
Ryan, just one question. You just reminded me of something. Suleiman, weren't you targeted by the ADL, didn't they, on a number of occasions?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, if you're not targeted by the ADL, then you're probably not doing a good job, because, yeah, they did target me. They did a couple of hits on me, but then when I responded, they deleted them, so that was golden.
Yeah, I got targeted in 2011 by them that I saw. I was also pictured on Israeli TV as a neo-Nazi.
Yeah, so mine's mainly been 2024, so it was last year. It was the ADL. They did a couple of hits on me, but then I responded, and then they removed them. Obviously, they put my name on a missile, but they did that once, really, and then afterwards they did, like, a fake digital one. But yeah, they just fear anybody who is able to retort them and has any form of intellect. So there's a reason, like, they don't put, like, even myself and same with you, Ryan, they don't put us on the big shows, because they know we'll push back and destroy them, both on this whole Israeli Zionist points, the control of Israel over Western nations, the fact that Islam is, for me, it's,
yeah,
for
the Pierce Morgan just blocks me all the time. I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
Same, he's blocked me. The fact that Islam's being targeted in the in Europe, a lot of the propaganda against Muslims on that, like, they would never have me on, because I would absolutely destroy them. And so that's why they'll always put on, like, people who either are not as strong or people who will help them with their narrative. So this is, like, an agenda that a lot of these big news people have always had. And I actually believe that intentionally they always put these kind of extreme Muslims on there, or people who don't like Islam at all, in order to demonize Muslims. So I think this is a direct agenda.
Yeah, they put on the Dili Husseins who supported ISIS. They get the, like, Dili Husseins, a guy that supported ISIS in Syria or something. But
yeah, these guys were horrible.
You know, Keith Woods, he had a good point. I think yesterday he was saying, like, they they want the idiot that's like, hooray, Palestine, and then out there posting Hitler memes and stuff, because that's such an L from its opening. They want the moron. I have this phrase I borrowed from Nietzsche. It's like, there's nothing that hurts your argument more than an idiot arguing on your behalf. And so that's what they're going to gravitate towards if they can. If they can find those morons that will say that stupid stuff, the worst representative of Islam they can find, the worst representative of whatever, that's who they'll pull up and be like, here's the authority of the Palestinian. They're not going to have you or Khaleesi or – I mean, it's weird because someone like Norman Finkelstein has been able to get on Piers Morgan and make his points. And so like Bassem Youssef, but Piers is probably, as horrible as he is, like far more balanced than the rest of them. That's what's sad, because you won't ever see them on any of the major networks. True. Like Pierce is a YouTube show.
Yeah, and like when you say about Keith Woods, is not the most of his following anywhere. And I'm glad Keith Woods is moving more towards our position, actually, because before they used to say it's just the Jews and thought we were playing defense. But now Keith Woods has been making a lot of points in differentiating between Jews and
Zionists. Yeah, so. And you know, I've disagreed with them vehemently, but he seems to be coming around. He's trashing Europa because that is the dumbest film about World War II. I call it like the Loose Change of World War II, because Loose Change is the dumbest 9/11 film. And of course, yeah, it's the one everyone's seen because it's retarded. And the one everyone's seen about World War II is Europa because it's stupid.
I was with Luke Rudinsky, or his name is. He's the guy who, he said he was one of the guys who was behind it. So that was interesting. But yeah, 100%
agree. No, he was from We Are Change, which is almost as dumb. Nothing is as bad as Loose Change. Like that was... Nothing was more damaging. There is stuff that's dumber, the like complete airplane denier, hologram people, whatever, but they're so far out there that they don't do as much damage as the Loose Change folks and Richard Gage and stuff. It's such a cult. And like, if you guys would get out of the way, there wouldn't be a stigma about 9/11 conspiracy. You made it stupid by saying all the dumb things you say. And these people, they're like, well, Hitler did nothing wrong. And I'm like, wow, you're just, okay. Like, you're not helping. You're hurting the side you think you're helping.
Yeah. And he did post the other day and made a differentiation between Jewish and Zionist, but I think he didn't realize he was doing that. So it's interesting because they were like attacking me for saying that I think there is a difference between Jews and Zionists. So that's interesting. But in that regard, yeah, I completely agree with you. I think a lot of this... when it comes to the mainstream media, they will never have us on. Like, I just hope... The only reason I ever wanted to go on was because I know we can provide a perspective and push back on all these dumbness that no one else can. And I find Piers Morgan really funny, where he's like, I'll have someone like Tommy Robinson on, but I won't have, like, Nick Fuentes. And the reason is because, in reality, there is a differentiation between the two. He'll have the guy who hates Islam on, but not... like anybody else. And so therefore it shows his hypocrisy. He'll call someone like Dan Bilzerian an anti-Semite, but he will not do the same thing to someone like Godsad or Douglas Murray. So like all of these
CNN guys had Richard Spencer on more than once, and he's just as bad as Fuentes. Like, but they had Spencer on because they needed a pariah and to attach him to Trump because of Charlottesville and da, 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 da. That's why.
Yeah, there was a reason with that. But for example, I'm talking about Piers Morgan. He actually said he wouldn't have these guys on, but then he would have those guys on. So in the UK, there is this direct, and in Europe, there's this direct thing about doing extreme propaganda because they want to, you know, control the narrative. And they're afraid that, you know, other people, if they're on, they won't be able to control it as much. That's like the reality, like what's happening.
I think Tommy Robinson is probably because... you know, he got anointed by Elon Musk. And so suddenly everyone started paying attention and he was pressure release. It's
no,
like,
but Ryan, he's had him on before. He's actually
maybe
had
before that. Okay. Then.
When he worked here before, about 3 years ago, Piers Morgan brought him on at the height of Islamophobia, and Tommy Robinson sat there waving a Quran about, saying the most vile things on daytime TV, and there was an uproar about it, but he was all like, well, I'm all for free speech. But like Suleiman's saying, he won't bring Nick Fuentes or other people on. And when
you imagine someone with a Torah waving it around, be like, and God killed all the first children in Egypt. That's messed up. And then he did this and this.
When you say he brought on Bassem Youssef and Norman Finkelstein, yeah, but both of those people have the same position on October 7th. They call it a terrorist attack. They call Hamas a terrorist organization. And they don't really when they go on his show, delve into deeper into what happened before, he will not have anybody on who talks about resistance and the fact that the Palestinians have a right to resist and that October the 7th.
Yeah. Bassam did, but Finkelstein sort of half did that. He compared it to Nat Turner and stuff. He said it's like a slave revolt. And I think the point he could have articulated better is like, if the slaves revolt, you don't blame that on the slaves. You blame it on slavery because they're revolting because they're slaves. Like if you didn't enslave them, then they wouldn't be attacking you. And if you didn't do that to the population of Gaza, there wouldn't be a Hamas.
Yeah, I agree. I think we've had some people waiting for a while. Suleiman, should we go to Prashant? I think he's been waiting a while. Or
I'll bounce. So I don't mic hog. I got it. Like I'm always out of time anyway. So
if you can,
I'll come back in a minute. I'm gonna do a thing on Syria, and then I'll be if y'all. She'll go, and I'll come back.
I'll come back. Okay. Simon Suleiman.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Khalisi. Is it my turn now, Prashant?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello.